This is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from Trailer Wheel and Frame on 45 and West Canino. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, here at Trailer Wheel and Frame with a cast of thousands. Canino exit, I-45 North. Stop on out and see us. It's a phenomenal shop and showroom if you're interested for anything for your trailer, your truck, or you want to talk to Brandon about anything sales-related with ESPN 97.5, because he is here to work for you. And if you are wearing plaid today, you get a two-for-one discount when you talk to Brandon about sponsoring anything on ESPN. Nick is back at the shop at headquarters. And I don't know if you saw this or not, Barry, but I sent it to you guys. It just came out. James Harden's in the latest edition of Time Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And for once, it seems, because he's kind of an elusive guy. He's hard to get interviews with. Obviously, I won't get one because of their PR department. But that's a different story. But at the same time, he's extremely – well, they get mad because I'm honest. But he's extremely candid and open in this interview. And it's fairly lengthy, but he covers – and I give the author a lot of credit because he covers a lot of ground and fires questions that I would think at some point somebody stepping in and go, don't ask him that or don't say it. But Sean Gregory asks him a lot. His first question right off the bat was, are you the best player in the world right now? And he says, for sure. I feel like I'm solid in everything. IQ, studying the game, scoring the basketball, making my teammates better. There are not a lot of guys that have all those characteristics in one. They may be more athletic, can shoot the ball way better, but everything's solid in one human body. Okay.
Well, if you don't have confidence in yourself,
true,
who will, right?
That's a good point.
I mean, why wouldn't you, if you're as good as he is, he's, you know, top five, right?
Yep.
One of the five best players in the NBA?
Oh, yeah.
Would you agree?
Absolutely.
So why wouldn't you think you're the best?
And the NBA, I mean, to me, unless, like I said, unless Westbrook finishes the year averaging a triple-double, it's going to take away from his votes, but otherwise he stands down the MVP.
And it would, but it's still the second time in 3 years that he's a candidate for.
Yep.
A serious
contender.
And I think
he should have got it 2 years ago.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, I don't have a problem with him saying that. I mean, I want a guy that's confident.
On other topics, after reaching the Western Conference Finals in 2015, you guys got off to a dismal start. McHale fired after 11 games. What went wrong? He said from the coaching change to inexperience to guys not on the same page to guys having different agendas, it was just a bad team. You can see 15-plus teams like that in the league right now.
Damn.
A combination of bad things, and we were one of those teams. Follows up by saying, there was a perception at least you and Dwight Howard did not get along. And he said, that wasn't true at all. We got along. You know, it didn't fit. It didn't work. In life, things just don't work out. And then you know, so what's next? So I guess that's at least they're getting down to it a little bit more.
Yeah.
But obviously everybody had high expectations when that team was put together. He says, they ask him, what's the difference between last year then and this year? And he says, I'm more locked in. You look at those bad clips of me getting beat by backdoor cuts and defensive lapses. That's not happening this year. Oh, we found a few.
Yeah, it is.
That is me more focused because of what's surrounding me. And in my mind, that is him realizing social media is killing him. And just like I said to you guys, just the fact that Shaq and Charles made him Shaqting a fool Exhibit A so
yeah.
much, I think he was going to change. But he says, I'm playing better. Everybody's playing better. The energy we had last year, it was a disaster. I'm happy that happened because now here I am. I think we all have to go through bad times to prevail and be great.
Sounds like it's a good read.
It's a very good read. It's again, it's Time
tweet
Magazine.
Tweet the link out.
Yeah, time.com. And as I read the intro to it on Twitter, two other things that were interesting. One, what was his reaction when KD signed with Golden State? And he says, shocked because he had come to Arizona to hang out with me for a few days. We were just hanging out. We're good friends. Not even talking about hoops. Talking about life. After that happened, it shocked me, but I'm not the type to judge. So evidently, he was with Durant pretty close to when the decision was made and never knew.
Well, yeah, I mean, if I'm Durant, I'm not spilling it, would you?
No.
I would worry about it. You never know who you can trust.
Then the one that everybody wanted to know. You dated Khloe Kardashian. That relationship introduced you to tabloid fame. What was that like? Flat out, he says, I didn't like it. Everything I did was overthought. It was blown out of proportion. For example, I signed my Adidas deal in August and wasn't able to wear Adidas because I was with Nike until October 1. So I still had to wear Nike. But every time I went out and I had Nikes on, oh, my God, James Harden's wearing Nike, and he just signed a deal with Adidas. I can't wear Adidas until October. Leave me alone. It was too much. There was just a lot of nonsense. Just saying my name for no reason. It was a learning experience for sure. We all go through those. Mm. Houston hopes they never go through it again.
Yep.
Safe to say there. So it's a good read. TimeMagazine.com. I will retweet the link. But your boy, The Beard, Houston, with a very candid interview with Time Magazine.
Lamont chimed in with a couple of more lyrics.
Okay.
If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. He said it was a stupid lyric. I'll go with that. And then he said Cameron had some stupid lyrics. Scooby Wooby, riding my hoopty, ba-booty.
Says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Gets right to the point.
Pretty dumb. We got a text from 215. Nirvana smells like Teen Spirit. If you can understand what he's saying, good luck. I don't know all the lyrics, but yeah, he talks about a mosquito and his libido, and I don't understand why he does all that.
Yeah.
Very weird. I think Weird Al Yankovic's version was much better. And then somebody texted in Soulja Boy. Turned my swag on, hopped up out the bed, turned my swag on, took a look in the mirror, said, what's up? Yeah, I'm getting money. Oh, yeah, I'm getting money.
Wow.
I think there's a lot of, there's definitely a lot of these.
I've told you, just try and dissect Bee Gees' lyrics.
Yeah, those
they're
those
very
two.
Difficult.
Those two. And then I've got to read this from Dr. Dre, even though I don't want to get caught up in this silliness. He's like, that's not rain outside. Trey's mom just opened up another case of Girl Scout cookies. Skeet, skeet, skeet.
Oh, boy.
And
it's the gift that just keeps on giving.
Now, where was this on the damn roast battle,
Dre? Yeah, that's what
Dre?
I keep saying.
That's terrible, man. You like that. You're like me when I go home after getting heckled. Like, I'm driving home and I have the best line then. Like, in the car on the ride home, I'm like, boy, I totally took care of that heckler in my mind later with no one when it didn't count. You gotta perform under pressure, Dre. Gotta step up, man. Did you see the story about Trent Richardson getting arrested?
I did, but before I do that,
oh yeah, go ahead.
Rodrigo chimes in.
She?
I don't know why you said she. Yeah. Oh, you know why? Oh, she ? Is what Rodrigo says, because I did what you said. I retweeted the link,
uh-huh.
And in the link, as I read it, James Harden opened up about his reputation in the NBA and why she should be MVP. That's not on me. That's on Time Magazine. I just want to let you know. But people would, of course, come right at me with that.
Of course, because you're the Rocketeer, yep. Quote unquote.
Right.
Yeah. What else? Oh, yeah. So this thing, Trent Richardson got arrested for domestic violence in Alabama.
Because his career couldn't go any better.
No. No. Apparently he got in an argument at a hotel. They were at a Walmart. Allegedly, you know, she's got scratches on her. Police were called, came out to the hotel room. They saw that there was some physical, or that things had turned physical at the Walmart, and now he's arrested again. And as if the NFL didn't have enough to worry about, this is still happening.
He's still trying to play, too.
Yeah.
See Vince Young. But that picture right there looks like a pregnant Richard Sherman. It really does.
Yeah.
I'm looking at his mugshot, and he looks like a chubbier Richard Sherman.
I want to disagree with you, but...
But you can't.
No, it
kind of
does.
Me calling the people walking into the trailer wheel frame today.
Yeah, it kind of does. Did you see EA Sports? I just retweeted this, but EA Sports is now trolling Vince Young.
Yeah, I saw it.
Where Lee Steinberg had tweeted out something, and it's like, hey, you know, we're talking with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, hashtag Longhorn Football, hashtag Vince Young. And then somebody else made a tweet that said... ESPN said, in case you missed it, Vince Young hopes to play football again, to which EA Sports copied the tweet and posted, well, we'll send him a copy of Madden 17 then. So pretty cold-blooded.
Yeah, basically saying if you're going to play football again, play on a video game.
Pretty cold-blooded. I don't know who. I wonder if they got – yeah, it's been retweeted and caught and everything, so I don't know. No one's saying anything about it, so – That's pretty good. I don't mind.
Did you borrow your hat to somebody?
No, I don't know. I don't know. It's no one can. No one on radio.
I know. I'm gonna explain it in a second.
No,
but there, you know how in hospitals people wear like scrubs and matching like head do rags and stuff like that.
That's a conductor's cat. A conductor's hat.
Well, it's kind is of. That a conductor's hat?
Oh.
No?
Now they all got look.
No, he's right See? Here eating, and I was like, I was just trying to figure out what kind of hat that is. It's a welding hat.
Dude.
Okay. So similar to being in a hospital and wearing, it's a what?
Welder's
it's a cap.
Cap.
It's a welder's cap. Okay.
I love that.
But it does look similar to, I got where you're coming from with the conductor's
look, he's
cap.
Taking it off because he's going to fight y'all. He's turning it backwards. He wants to fight y'all.
Covers your ear. I got it, but it has quite a delicate pattern to it. It's bisexual, he says, because you can turn it inside out. All right, there you go.
This is
we learn something new every day, and we learn it right here at Trailer Wheel and Frame. There's nothing like it. I'm telling you.
You're on your
hat,
own.
If you had water
just,
on that hat.
Just turn my mic off until we go to.
If you had water on that hat, it is definitely growing.
We got a couple more. Snow's Informer is pretty bad. What is this? I don't know what
it's
this
kiss.
Is, Tyler. Tell me what it is.
Look. The okay. lyrics,
You're
man.
Having me read stuff, and I can't. I don't
the
know.
The kiss lyric is, oh, babe, I want to put my log in your fireplace.
From Kiss?
That's fire, baby.
Like the,
that's
the,
why Barry
the
said
band
he loved Kiss.
The, See, that's why that's I told why, you I don't knew, like
that's
Kiss.
That's why you said you loved
it. I want to put my log in your fireplace. That's just, that's not good.
Okay.
That's horrible. Yeah, not good. Snow's Informer, also a bad one. I don't
yeah,
even know what
that is. If you can understand how fast he goes, yeah.
Andrew Jacob says Fall Out Boy had a lyric that just goes garble, garble, garble. I don't know. I don't know what this is. I don't know. None of these are beating the 10 I read, though, guys. You got to step up. I need better.
Unless you do crisscross, we'll make you jump.
Huh?
Miggity-miggity-mack, wiggity-wiggity-whack, miggity-miggity-wiggity-wiggity-wiggity, and stuff like that. Hey, we got much more show to go.
Save that, Nick. Save that. Save that,
Tosh
Nick.
Is still on the phone. The bill goes up.
Yeah.
Never what. And the deals go down. She is taking care of business right here at Trailer Wheel and Frame. Her desk and office is yours as well. Stop at a Trailer Wheel and Frame like my man is doing right now. He has got a big load ready to go. It's just things moving in and out of this place on a quick-by-quick basis. If you have a truck, a trailer, a wheel, or a frame, and you need help, you've come to the right place. Canino Exit right here in I-45 North. We'll be here till 4 o'clock, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Trailer Wheel and Frame on 45 and West Canino. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, Tyler. Fancy Pants on the phone. Drew. Brandon, why are you still here, by the way? It's Friday. You got your boots on. You're ready to boot, scoot, and boogie. You got people in plaid shirts coming up and wanting to talk to you about sales opportunities. This is your home away from home in your new office. We're at Trailer Wheel and Frame, Canino Exit, I-45 North. Sam is still here with her name on the cup. If you don't know who she is, you will soon find out. Some guys already did. They heard we were talking about her, so they had to check out the barbecue from Rudy's. Fantastic food, lots of beverages, lots of goodies. We're here till 4, so if you want to join us, stop on by. Nick is back at headquarters, manning the glass.
Yeah.
Are we still doing the law firm?
I think now we're on to terrible lyrics, which
has been going for a while.
Yeah, and Lamont has another good one from Dre. Never let me slip, because if I slip, then I'm slipping. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty much how that goes, Dre. Nick had one. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard. Okay, Pockets, settle down.
So she's off the phone, and now we all want her back on the phone.
We got a good one here from 409. Somebody said, I used to be in a band with a guy who wrote horrible lyrics. Once he wrote a tree hugger song that said, quote, fish of the sea, dying at your knees, deer eating grass, blown on its ass. What? You know he was high when he wrote that. It was like, yeah, man, this is great, man. Like, this is about the fish and the deer and the grass and the sea. Man, I need a pizza, man. Like, you know he thought this was
Why
really good.
Why do I
good.
Think this guy's selling insurance now? That the whole lyric yeah, writing no band thing didn't work out.
So more. Now you rhyme. Did you ever want to be an MC? Did no. you ever want to rap or be in a band?
No. I DJ'd, and it just... I used
to be a rapper.
I could do a couple lines. That doesn't surprise me.
I used to be a rapper. I used to be a producer, dancer. I was a backup dancer, like Scoob and Scrap.
I was a porn
You don't even
star.
Know who that is, do you?
I was a porn star.
You were a porn star?
The reduction made me go to the other side of the camera.
Stop it. Stop it. I don't believe you for 1 second.
Oh, you did for a second.
Link,
you started to.
Link me to a video.
No.
I want to watch it.
Nope.
I want to watch it.
Of course you
I'll
do.
Watch
That's
it.
Dirty. That's
I'll
like
watch
Trey.
It.
That's like Trey with Lady Gaga. He wants to hide in the closet. Juggalo Trey was like with the house B&B thing? And he wanted to be in the closet. And
oh, that is true, right?
Yeah. He said he did.
Yeah. Trey's a weirdo, though.
Hey,
but I just want to watch yours for research purposes. I want to see.
No.
I want to see if, you, if you're telling the truth.
I'm not.
Send me a link.
I'm not.
I know you got one on your phone.
It's a great line, though. No. See, Michael Floyd finally got sentenced.
I did not.
The reason why the Arizona Cardinals cut him, remember, he was asleep at the wheel and intoxicated.
Yeah.
The Patriots ended up picking him up.
He got mad because they woke him up.
Now he's going to be mad because he's going to serve 24 days at the Maricopa County Jail in Phoenix, then 96 days in home detention, which I'm sure is going to be rough. He was also sentenced to 30 hours of community service and fined $5,115.99. And he could be suspended for the first two games of next year.
That's the dumbest thing ever.
You have a penny?
Yeah, like why 99 cents, though?
I don't know.
Just round up.
Because you can go to the dollar store and still get change.
Was there like, okay, the maximum is, you know, under 5,000 or whatever it was?
Well, because it's over 5,000.
Well, what was it again? $5,115.99.
So
was the max fine $5,116? And they were like, well, we didn't give you the max. So.
It's possible. I don't know.
That's just dumb. Yeah, but that dude, I wonder if he's going to get, you know, good credit or time off for good behavior or whatever, or time served and all that.
He gets a ring from the Patriots.
Mm.
So he was cut by the Cardinals, picked up by the Patriots, was a scratch for the Super Bowl, never played in it, but will get a ring by the Patriots and will be recognized as a Super Bowl champion.
I'm all right with that just because Matt Schaub doesn't get a ring, so that's whatever.
Okay.
I'm good with it. Bitterness
has its purposes.
I would have been so pissed if I would have had to know going to my deathbed that not only did Matt Schaub get a ring, but David Carr got one. Are you serious? I would have. This is good news.
Did you ever watch Bewitched?
Yeah.
Larry Tate's here. He was Darren's boss on Bewitched.
That was, you're pretty good at this.
I'm rolling on the doppelganger. We used to do
you're
it.
Not
seriously,
bad.
We used to do it on the air.
You're
we used
not
to
bad.
Have the doppelganger lookalikes of NBA players.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
You're pretty good at it. I imagine it's great for radio.
You know how many people I used to have tweet in during games? Like, oh, my God, that's dead on. And I'm like, wow, some of them were obscure. We didn't think you'd get it. And
really?
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are pretty good. By the way, you remember we mentioned yesterday about Joel Embiid being on stage and dancing during
a
rap concert?
Yes.
The Sixers saw the video, too. They're not happy.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, they're not happy.
And?
They came out and said, not that they're going to reprimand him any further, but they will have discussions with Joel Embiid because he is due to have arthroscopic knee surgery. Not a good idea to be dancing on stage.
Well, to be fair, though, it is different than playing basketball. I mean,
still, moving around.
Yeah, but like, I mean, if you've ever seen Tyler dance, it's just all literally just hands. That's it. It's just a little whoop whoop in the air with one hand.
You're in the same spot?
Yeah,
right
you just
here,
stay in that zone.
Between elbow
it's
and elbow.
Just, he gets this like he's going to rope something like he's a cowboy. He just gets that little lasso going. But it's nothing from the waist down. Like,
what's
he's just still.
Find your happy place in your safety zone, which is
there.
The Will
stay
Smith
in, stay
hitch?
In the pocket. Stay in the pocket.
Hitch.
Yeah. Hitch.
Yeah.
Yeah,
hitch.
Yeah, yeah,
okay. Yeah.
So it's all right. I mean, I'm sure he wasn't up there like, you know, doing the typewriter like hammer or nothing, was he?
I'll get you video during the break. How about that?
All right, you owe me two videos.
How about that? Yeah, I don't owe you the other video.
Yeah,
you're just extremely curious, which is scary. Daryl Morey's here. He just walked in.
I want to
amidst
what?
The trade
you're
deadline.
You're going to have to stop.
So he's going to be analyzing trades for us and talking about wheels and frames right here at Trailer Wheel and Frame. We'll be back with a whole lot more because we're going to kick it till 4 right here at the Canino exit of I-45 North. So if you want to join us that way, you can call us or text us at 713-780-ESPN, or you can hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4. Trailer Wheel and Frame right here in your hometown of Houston, Texas, and all on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is a Renters Warehouse.com roadshow.
Live from Trailer Wheel and Frame on 45 and West Canino. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, Joel Barry on a cast of thousands right here at the Canino exit of I-45 North. They call it Trailer Wheel and Frame. I call it your one-stop shop for everything for your truck, trailer, and everything in between. Nick's back at headquarters holding down the fort and taking calls. Barry's randomly checking text messages, but mostly we're on Twitter. And you can reach us there as well, at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We're here till 4 o'clock. Fun game shenanigans, lyrics, law firms. We're covering it all today.
Yeah.
Yeah, you sound interested. I showed you the video of Joel Embiid dancing.
That dude messed up. He should have done that. He was full on into the dance. He was using both knees. He was high stepping, and you're injured, bro. You can't do that. Like that's
shirt
a bad
came
look.
Off.
Yeah,
dabbing, whatever.
Yeah,
it's a ridiculous move in itself.
It is. I really don't like the whole dance thing where they're doing the hands and all that. Back in my day.
Okay, Dad.
Back in my day when dancing was dancing and the running man was the real running man, not this whack-ass fake running man that they do nowadays, sissy running man. We did the real running man. We did the scoop and scrap. We did the kid and play, the WAP.
Kid and play for sure.
Kid and play was pretty good. The WAP.
You had the hair to go with it.
The prep. Do you remember the prep?
No.
Did you used to do the prep?
No.
You never did the prep?
No.
Come on, man.
No.
That was,
I was still in front of the camera at that time.
The prep. What else was there? There was the WAP, the prep.
Dude, there's a lot of people of certain ethnicities that are thinking you're violating their code right now.
Yeah, that's true. But those were the good dances.
Yeah, there's a lot of crap, and I hate seeing kids.
Not the sprinkler, by the way.
No, but or the stewardess.
What is the stewardess? Oh yeah, no.
The sprinkler, the stewardess.
Yeah, no, the stewardess is where you're pointing to the exits.
Yeah, the exits.
No, that's
and all
not
that.
Good.
No.
No. Mm-mm. No, but he definitely shouldn't have done that. I see why the Sixers
It was
would
his
be
left
pissed.
Knee. He looked like Esme showing us how to do stairs yesterday. I mean, it was like you're walking through snow, and the left knee is definitely doing a lot of things it probably shouldn't be doing either pre or post surgery.
Yeah, for sure.
When you're worth millions of dollars to your team.
Right.
Just things to think about next time you decide that you're going to go. And they said the biggest thing was he was disappointed because Meek Mill had been in concert two times previously, and he wasn't able to go. So this time, not only was he able to go, but he was able to show. And he showed out to the point where his team wasn't so happy.
And then he's saying, oh, I'm definitely hurt. I'm definitely hurt. Well, if you are, bro, you should just stay home. Like, just Meek Mill will come back again.
He missed nine games.
You can catch him in another city. Like, why are you doing that? That's just he's
missed nine games with the injury.
Yeah.
And he didn't look like he was very injured when he was dancing, cutting.
No, not a single bit. Like, he was getting it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Did you see this thing, this Jim Harbaugh,
Paul
Feinbaum thing?
Yeah. Paul Feinbaum's ESPN guy?
Yeah, and he basically was trying to imply that Harbaugh was cheating because he signed a recruit's dad, or he gave a job to a recruit's dad and says, you know, it's technically not cheating, but it's, what was the quote? He said something to the effect of, It goes against the standards. He said this is wrong. It may not be illegal by NCAA standards, but by this moment, but it's still cheating to me. It's blatantly disregarding the spirit of the NCAA rules. That's what he said. And it's like, I don't know, man, because what I found out at the end of the article, the thing you got to know is that this dad that he hired was an OC for the 49ers back in the day.
Well, the other thing is, you know, that this is bringing up standard policies that are being explored by the NCAA that in all sports you are not allowed to hire a recruit's immediate family for a period of up to 2 years.
Are they? It seems like, I mean, in this article it was on Larry Brown Sports, but it's pretty good because they talk about all the different ways that Harbaugh has been finding loopholes in the NCAA.
They're going to what, Italy to practice?
Well, that's what it said. He said basically he's been one step ahead of the NCAA the whole time. Satellite camps, a trip to Florida for spring practice, trips to Italy now for spring practice. And every time he's done that, the NCAA has to go behind him and close
sure
the loophole.
Yep.
And so now here he is hiring a recruit's dad and giving him a job. It's not illegal.
But you remember where this started, right? When Danny Manning committed to Kansas, his dad, who was a high school coach,
yeah.
was made an assistant under Larry Brown. Uh-huh. And that at the time was like, was it a cagey move and that was really good on Larry Brown's part, or was that pushing the envelope too far? And now with AAU and everything else, most guys that are AAU coaches are trying to use it as a hookup and a stepping stone to make sure that they get into the college game and then hopefully the pro game and get a career started for themselves. It's gotten so dirty across sports, but, you know, there's a lot going on. We've talked about Saban at length and the fact that he stockpiles talent not only on the field but coaching staff and otherwise, so that if a guy like Kiffin leaves or even Sarkisian leaves, that, you know, he has people in the waiting in the wings. He didn't this time because he went three deep, but he normally goes at least two deep on the roster to make sure that coaches are replaceable as well as players.
Did you see that there was an article a couple of days ago on For the Win where it talked about a Louisiana high school that banned Nick Saban and Alabama for, quote, not being ethical. And they said that LSU is welcome. The only school that can't come to Parkway is Alabama. And there's a long story behind it. But basically, they're just not being ethical when they're doing their recruiting. So now you've got high schools banning, you know, coaches and recruits. And I have a feeling there's probably more politics to that than anything, because you know how that goes, especially being a Louisiana school.
Yeah.
Sounds a little political, but yeah, well, you know. It's just, it's funny, man. These coaches like Saban and Harbaugh, they're smart, man. They find loopholes.
Oh, no question.
They're going to do their thing.
Saban got that guy fired.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Nice.
The high school coach?
Yeah.
That's typical
Nick.
That's a very Nick Saban thing to do.
Nick, there you go. The other thing about Saban, did you ever hear about that too? In his office at Alabama, he has like this between 300 and 600 pound solid oak door to his office. And it's like he has a garage door opener for it. Mm-hmm. It's like, and he keeps it in his desk. And when he brings a kid in that he wants to discipline, the door is open. And I guess when it shuts hard and fast, and it makes this loud, ferocious boom.
Right.
That he gets the biggest kick out of it from an intimidation standpoint of once the kid steps inside the office, he hits the button and then just scares the living daylights out of the kid with the way it slams behind him, and he gets off on that.
Wow. That doesn't shock me, considering the power trip.
Well, and he also, the story was when he was with the Dolphins, because we mentioned about the fact under the Belichick tree. Story was with the Dolphins, when he was coaching with the Dolphins, that they had a guy that they basically called, like, for lack of a better term, but, you know, the henchman. But if Coach Saban walked down the hallway and you tried to speak to him on a Monday, on Tuesday there was a letter on your desk delivered by this guy that worked for Saban that said, Coach Saban is far too busy to take time out of his day.
That's terrible.
To be distracted and bothered with people talking to him like this. Don't do it again.
I hope I get that big. I'm going to do that to you. I'm just going to be like, tell Joel that I am far too busy doing show prep to talk to him.
But yet we're going to do it. We'll still be doing a show
and
together.
And then when we go
so
live.
That works out well.
Yeah, and then when we go live, I'll be like, okay, now you can talk to me,
Joel. Well, and the other thing, too, it was a story I was going to get to you back on when I was alluding to it. And I won't use the person, the player's name. But it happened locally back in the day. Mm-hmm. But back in the day.
Names. Come on,
you know,
man.
You never know if you can verify the story, but I've heard it by several people at a university here in town. But at one point, said athlete was in need of some cash.
Uh-oh.
Decided to go to the local fast food establishment with a ski mask on and decided to see if he couldn't just do a quick hold up, grab and go. And the manager yelled, hey, is that da-da-da? Mm-hmm. And he went, no, man.
Da-da-da was my favorite
athlete
from that school. Yeah.
And his response was, no, it ain't da-da-da. No, give me all your money. I got to go.
That a friend of mine did that.
Said his name and everything.
Yeah. No, a friend of mine, I swear to God, this is a true story. A friend of mine used to work at McDonald's, and his name was Charles. And Charles was about 5'2", so he was very short. He was fat. And he had one bad eye, so he squinted out of one eye, and he talked like this. And we used to call him Popeye. And Popeye was working at the McDonald's, and he clocked out, and he went home, and he put on this all-black outfit with a mask, and he went back to the McDonald's, and he robbed it. The McDonald's that he worked at.
Oh, boy.
And they were like, Charles, is that you? And he's like, nah, it's not me. Like,
yep,
it's like
same story.
Yeah, literally. And I'm like, you know, these are the guys though that end up on, like, you know, dumb criminals. But same exact story.
What's the list that comes out every
year?
And
if you're 5'2 and fat with a squinty eye and a voice like this, they're probably – and you work there, they probably are going to know it's you.
Yep. You think?
Charles was definitely the dumbest person in the crew.
Might you want to try and just use a card swiper at a gas station or something so that you don't have to give it all away?
Something else. And then he was like, man, I don't know how they knew it was me. I'm like, bro, you're 5'2 with one eye and fat. And you, dude, like, how did they not know it was you, Charles? You didn't even need a mask.
So
like,
moral of the story is if you're Wink Martindale with John McClane's voice, don't rob a McDonald's.
I guess so, yeah. Yeah. That's funny that that's happened more than once. I imagine that's happened quite a bit, to be honest with you.
I would believe that's probably the case.
Yeah. I mean, not all criminals are smart.
Hey, it's 3:40. That means it's almost time to get out of here, and that means we'll turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. But before we do, we always have one segment left for you. We are at Trailer Wheel and Frame at the Canino exit of I-45 North, heading up towards the Woodlands. It's right past Gallery Furniture. You stop in here. It is your one-stop shop for everything you need for your truck, your trailer, or everything in between. Until then, we're going to take one more time to step away. We'll wrap some things up, and we'll get to last-minute details before your weekend, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Trailer Wheel and Frame on 45 and West Canino. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel and Barry here with one of our loyal listeners who always makes an appearance, the St. Louis Cardinals fan, the man, Josh Rapp. The Rap Sheet is here live and in living color, enjoying an adult beverage.
I'm not booing Josh, I'm booing the Cardinals.
A Bulls fan is here, claiming that Jimmy Butler did get fouled last night. And everybody else could be, too. We're at Trailer Wheel and Frame, I-45 North and the Canino exit, right past Gallery Furniture as you head towards the Woodlands. It is nearby everywhere you are and want to be. Sam is still hanging out. If you still want to get some Rudy's Barbecue, we still have some left. One left. After Josh Rapp finishes that thing in his hand, I'm guaranteeing he's going to probably clean that thing out. So
maybe you should specify what's in his hand.
I already said an adult beverage the first
time. Okay, all right. I just want to make sure people don't get the wrong idea.
Josh is the kind of guy that once he has an adult beverage in his hand, there is nothing wrong with going to grab the last sausage. That's just as simple as it gets right here at Trailer Wheel and Frame. Drew is here if you want to see an incredibly large intern that can move coffee machines. Everybody is doing their job right around here. And again, the greatest and biggest showroom that you can possibly imagine for everything that you need, trailer, truck, frame, and everything in between. And you, Barry, want to do a reinvigorated Knicks picks as you guys break down a little UFC.
Yeah, we could do that. We could pick. I don't want to pick the whole card because some of those I really don't care about. But there are three fights on the card, the last three fights, Cecilia Tucker, Hendricks Lombard, and Lewis Brown that we could do picks on. Nick, you want to do it?
Absolutely, yeah.
I'll let you go first, man, for that Sam Cecilia, Gavin Tucker fight. Who you got?
Gavin Tucker is supposed to be this, you know, he's supposed to be a pretty decent prospect.
He's a badass.
He's 9-0, he's undefeated, but he hasn't had the big lights, the big league lights in the UFC. I think this is his UFC debut. And I usually pick against those guys unless that guy is really special. And I'm not saying Gavin is not special, but I'm just going to go with Cecilia only because this is his first fight in the UFC.
Would it surprise you if I told you that Gavin Tucker is the favorite across the board from Bovada to Five Dimes to everybody else?
No, it wouldn't surprise me that he's the favorite. It's not the first time we've seen someone make a UFC debut and come in as the favored fighter just because there's a lot of talent out there outside the UFC that people don't really know about. But, yeah, I mean, Vegas usually gets it right, so you never know.
Yeah, and I'm with you on being cautious about a guy like that, especially making his debut. But as of late, it seems like these guys that they're finding are up to the task. So I'm going to take Tucker in that fight. Johnny Hendricks, Hector Lombard, who you got?
This is a really scary fight for Johnny Hendricks, in my opinion, but Hector Lombard has kind of hit some bumps and stuff. What I really like about Hector Lombard is how fierce he is and how aggressive he is.
Yeah.
He's really a fearless type of fighter, and that's what Hendricks is in a way too. But I'm going to give the edge to Hector Lombard. I think he punches a little bit harder. I think he's slightly more accurate than Johnny Hendricks. I'm going to give the nod to Hector Lombard on this one.
Yeah, Lombard hasn't won since he beat Jake Shields at UFC 171. Does that surprise you? He's had two losses in a no contest.
No, because I figured when he was the big man in Bellator, I figured when he would make that transition into the UFC, I figured there was at least one or two fighters that would give him trouble. I didn't think he was going to come in and be an undefeated UFC fighter. I figured he would have a couple bumps along the way. So it doesn't surprise me big time, but I did think he'd do better.
Yeah, and just for the record, Hendricks is also on a 3-fight losing streak. So Hector Lombard has lost 2 in a row plus the no contest. So both guys need a win. In fact, this might be whoever loses, they may not be back. This could be the end of the road for them in the UFC. But I'll take Hector Lombard in the fight. Last one is the main event. Derek Lewis versus Travis Brown, the number 8 and number 9 heavyweights in the UFC.
Your buddy, Derek Lewis, fighting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's on the Black Scorpion list because he stood us up twice for
and
interviews.
And he did competing stations, so therefore I'm taking Travis Brown in the upset. There, I said it.
I'm with you. Although I will have to see Derek again, and I don't want him to punch me because even if he just punched my shoulder, it would probably come off. But no,
Derek Barry said a lot of other things than in the break.
Yeah, you're a damn lie. He knows better. Well, who you got? Who you got, Nick?
Man, I'm good. Just
we know who Joel has.
I got Travis Brown.
I was actually going to pick Travis initially, but he's really, you know, Derek Lewis really has a lot of momentum behind him. If you look at the only two losses he's had in the UFC, they're against game opponents. Matt Mitrione was one of them. I mean, to have Matt Mitrione as a very early fight in the UFC as a heavyweight, I think that's a tough task for anybody. And this is when Matt Mitrione was still, he was respected a lot more now. I'm not saying he's completely past his prime, but I think he was more in his prime when he faced Derek Lewis. So just because of the momentum and the, I think he's on a 5-fight win streak.
Yeah,
I'm going to go with Derek Lewis.
Yeah, and you know what's crazy about Derek Lewis and his career and the trajectory that he's on is two of his losses are to Sean Jordan, who is just a dude now. I mean, he's just a guy. But, yeah, I'm with you, man. Travis Brown has lost 3 of his last 4 fights. He did get the win over Mitrione, but he lost to Arlovsky. And then, you know, there's no shame in losing to Fabricio Werdum and Cain Velasquez.
No.
But I like Derek because it's no matter – I mean, Derek isn't – he doesn't have a great ground game. In fact, he doesn't have a good ground game. The problem is he's so strong that when Derek is ready to stand up, he just stands up. And it does – I've seen Gracie Baja black belt on top of him that he just pushes off and stands up. And that's a scary thing to think about when you're fighting a dude like
that.
Yeah,
you showed me that video in his Legacy Fighting days where he didn't really use any technique to get back on the ground. He just used his pure athleticism and strength.
Yeah, if the dude ever became a purple belt, it would be ridiculous.
It'd be scary. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's literally like a no stripe white belt. But if he was ever a purple belt, it'd be scary. So give me Derek Lewis in that one.
All right, there you go. Hey, great. Before we get out of here, I was asked, what are your thoughts on Eric Gordon's 3-point contest chances?
I hope it's not like the home run derby where it messes up his stroke.
I don't think it's going to be anything like that. The thing I'm most worried about is his health, period.
Yeah.
Because I think he's one of those guys, especially when you see him shoot it from Katie in Sugarland.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't see what I did there for you with Bill Worrell. He's the kind of guy that doesn't need to use his legs. When I look at these contests the way Larry Bird used to do it, the way guys that have always been successful at it, you don't, because there's so many shots to be taken, if you use a lot of legs and lower body, you get tired real quick. That's why I think this contest sets up beautifully for Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
But I think Gordon's...
He's got to be the favorite, right?
Klay Thompson? And he won it last year.
Yeah.
So I'd say the way that I go about it is I would say Thompson's still the favorite, and I would put, you know, Gordon in that top tier because he doesn't have to use the legs as much. I think Nick Young is going to be a screw-off. I think Kemba Walker has to use a lot of legs. McCollum is another guy I think could be good.
Who are you picking?
I'm going to say Klay Thompson's going to win, and if I go top three, I'd go Klay Thompson. I'd go Klay Thompson, Kyrie Irving, and C.J. McCollum.
Okay. I think Gordon will be top three as well. Can I do this Reddit thing before we get out of here?
I didn't say as well, so I didn't put Eric Gordon in the top three.
Well, I'm just saying as well as the others that I have.
Please do what
there.
You need to do.
So I found this thing on Reddit. It's called Today I Learned, and I wanted to share some of the things that I learned reading this on Reddit today. Today I learned in 2010 the Republic of Fiji lost its Declaration of Independence and had to go ask Britain for a copy. That's true. Today I learned until 2003 the U.S. Navy sent all their messages in all caps, which is the worst. If you're an all caps person, I hate you. I just want you to know that.
There's a lot of people that still do that too.
Today I learned that after 4 years of eating Captain Crunch with Crunch Berries, a woman sued the distributor of Captain Crunch because she discovered that she was eating brightly covered cereal balls and that Crunch Berries aren't a real fruit like she had thought. Today I learned that in 1968, John Lennon, after taking a large amount of LSD, called an emergency meeting with the Beatles to proclaim himself as Jesus Christ reincarnated. Today I learned that Oprah's audience had to pay $7,000 in taxes for the cars they got
when she was giving them to.
That would suck. I'd be like, oh, no, you can have it. I don't care about that car now. Today I learned King Tut's parents were probably brother and sister, and as a result, he had a club foot, wide hips, pot belly, female-like breasts, required a cane, and was prone to malaria infections. Who knew
and
that
lived
King,
in Mississippi?
I was going to say, who knew King Tut's parents were from Arkansas?
Oh, that's, there too. Okay.
That's another strange fact. And then last one, today I learned that a janitor at the Frito-Lay factory invented the Flamin' Hot Cheetos and is now an executive vice president. He apparently, the thing that dusted them with the orange dust broke down, and he took a bunch of Cheetos home, put chili dust on them, and invented Flamin' Hot Cheetos. And the rest, as
I thought
they
that
say,
story was going a totally different direction, but I'm glad it ended up right
no,
where you
sir.
Left it.
So that's what you learned.
We got to get out of here. We've had a lot of fun, as we always do when we make our monthly appearance at Trailer Wheel and Frame. We got to turn it over to the Blitz. Fred and AJ are next right here on ESPN 97.5. Y'all have a great weekend.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.